Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles this morning to the book of Mark, in the first chapter in the book of Mark. And as you're turning there, I want to ask you a question. First, I should say, happy 2017. And we should prepare, as Scott just sang, for the King to come. It may even be 2017. The question this morning is kind of an in-depth question. I've asked my whole family, and they don't like me to do that. Because generally they'll turn around and say, well, what is your answer? And I don't give it to them. And so I ask this question for you this morning for you to answer. What is your defining moment? What is your defining moment? Have you ever had a defining moment? Are your New Year's resolutions defining moments? But in your spiritual life, what is your defining moment? You see, we all have them. The Bible is full of examples of them, of these defining moments. It's that event or series of events within your life that changes the very course of your life. Your life, see, is heading in one direction, and suddenly something happens, an event occurs, and it turns the direction of your life down another path. We would call that a defining moment, when a different course has been set for your life. A course that is so radical, it is so different from the one you had living up to that point. Let me give you a couple of biblical examples of that moment to help you understand what I'm talking about. Thank you. Think of Genesis chapter 12. And think of when God calls Abraham to leave his father's home and to head toward a land that God said, I will show you. A land that he would become a father of great nations. That was his defining moment. Life would never again be the same in Abraham's life. And what about the New Testament? What about the Saul of Tarsus? Going from city to city, putting to death the life of people who profess to be Christians. And then in Acts chapter 9 and the third verse, the Bible says, a light from heaven flashed all around Paul as he neared Damascus, and a voice came down. And it came from heaven, and it questioned Saul as to why do you persecute me? That question came from God. And at that moment, it was his defining moment. Life would never, ever be the same for Paul again. Think about Exodus chapter 2. Think about Moses and this tree catches on fire. We call it the burning bush. Would you say that was a defining moment in the life of Moses? How about in Joshua chapter 7? And the walls of Jericho had just crumbled. And Joshua is this mighty leader, and the walls had crumbled down, and he goes back to the camp and he says, listen, I need a couple of you scouts to go over and check out this little bitty place over here called Ai. We don't need much help. Go over and see what you see how many people, how many men you think we need to send to conquer Ai. And they come back and say, oh, we only need a couple of thousand. We can go over and capture Ai shortly. Quick work, no problem, really no preparation. So Joshua says, go. Well, they come back and some of their men were killed. And Joshua falls down on his knees and he says, God, why didn't you tell me? And God says, because you didn't ask. What a defining moment in the life of Joshua. You see, we all have these defining moments. And in every case, the defining moment caused a life to be changed, a life to be different. God touched their life in some way, and their life headed in a complete different direction. And so if this morning a defining moment is what some of us desperately need in our life, a defining moment is what our church needs in the life of Second Baptist Church. We need a defining moment. (Clears throat) We may need a defining moment in our health. We may need a defining moment in our marriage. We may need a defining moment in our finances. Listen, we may need a defining moment in our spiritual life to awake us. It may be an addiction. I know that I long for defining moments in my life. And I hope that you do too. I hope we long for a defining moment in our church life. So if so, then you would turn to me to Mark chapter 1 so that we can all learn about these defining moments. And there's no better place to find defining moments than by looking at the life of Jesus and getting some understanding of the defining moment in His life. Turn with me to Mark chapter 1. We'll begin reading in verse 9. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when He came up out of the water, immediately He saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on Him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are My beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." Verse 12. The Spirit immediately drove him out of the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now I'm going to give you some verses this morning, and we're going to turn with them together. So keep your finger in Mark, as we'll come back to Mark. You know that you're at a defining moment in your life when you feel that you must leave the safety of whatever it is in order to do whatever God has compelled you to do. I have to leave the safety in order to do whatever it is God has compelled me to do. Turn over to 2 Corinthians. You say, "Well, Billy, why in the world would I leave the safety of something to go do something that I'm not sure what I'm getting into?" Isn't that the view of the world? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. Let's look. I don't have this on the screen. 2 Corinthians 5. "For the love of Christ compels us." What compels us? The love of Christ. Why am I compelled? The love of Christ. "For the love of Christ compels us," your translation may say controls us, "because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who might live no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised." What compels us? Some people say it's a calling. Right? But it's God compelling. It's Christ compelling you to do something. Even when it's not safe. Even when it's outside of your realm of thinking. Think about Jesus. For 30 years, Jesus had been safe and secure in the home of Mary and Joseph. Jesus had learned the trade of carpentry from his early earthly father, Joseph. And Mary and Joseph, nowhere in Scripture do I see that Mary and Joseph ever pushed out Jesus from their house. I never see them forcing him out of their home to go start your own life. Instead, Jesus was safe at home. Jesus felt safe at home. Mary and Joseph were very content for Jesus to be in their home. So why did he leave? Because he was compelled to leave. He was compelled to leave the safety of his home to go and do whatever it was he needed to do. You see, you'll know when you're in a defining moment in your life because you will have to go do whatever it is God is compelling you to do. You will not have a choice. You will be hurting on the inside if you don't go do whatever God is compelling you to do. Sometimes as men, we reach that defining moment when we know we've got to put our marriage back together. And it's going to be frustrating and it's going to hurt, but we are compelled to go do that. Sometime in our spiritual life, we move away from God. We get out of touch with God. We let sin come in our life, and it separates us, the Bible says, from the Word of God, from the love of God. And we then become compelled by the conviction of the Holy Spirit to go retrace and fix the relationship that we have with Almighty God. Because we're compelled to do that. Because we're convicted to do that. What compels us? The love of Christ. The love of Christ compels you. You see, when I went into the ministry, I did not go into the ministry because I wanted to preach. I did not go into the ministry because it was a lifelong dream to get up in front of people and preach. Quite the opposite. I wanted nothing to do with that. I went into the ministry after I ran from God from the ministry for about 5 or 6 years. I went into the ministry because I was compelled to go into the ministry, and it was so strong I was miserable running from God. What compels you? The love of Christ. The love of Christ is what compels you into the ministry. And you see, I love it when someone has a defining moment in their life. That defining moment when they must surrender and finally say, God, I need you. That defining moment when they walk down the aisle and they accept the gift of salvation. That defining moment when they follow the Lord in baptism. That defining moment when you finally say, this church is where I need to serve. And you join this church. That defining moment that you are going to be with that fellowship of believers. That defining moment in your life when you have to walk across the aisle and you have to ask forgiveness for someone, when you have to apologize for someone. That defining moment in our life when someone has to enter the ministry. When somebody walks down the aisle and says, God's called me to go to Africa. The defining moment. You know you're having a defining moment because you're compelled to go do it. You may not understand it, but you're compelled to go do it. Secondly, you know you're in a defining moment in our life when it is faith that dictates our decision rather than logic. Faith versus logic. Logic would tell me that Jesus did not have to be baptized by John the Baptist. Would you agree? That's what logic would tell me. There's no reason that John the Baptist had to baptize Jesus. And even John the Baptist says, the one who comes after me is more powerful than me. John says, I'm unworthy to tie the man's sandals. So why was it that Jesus was compelled to be baptized? And it's simple. Because Jesus looked at faith instead of logic. You see, Jesus had one responsibility when he was on this earth. You know what it was? Please the Father. That's it. And everything he did was to please the Father. Look in John chapter 8. In the book of John chapter 8. You see, all Jesus was being baptized to be faithful to the Father, to the Heavenly Father. John chapter 8 and verse 29. And the Bible says, and he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I, this is Jesus speaking, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. You see, Jesus wasn't about logic. He was pleasing the Father. Think about Abraham. He was told to leave his father's home and head to a land that God would show him. If it had to be faith that moved him from his father's home. It couldn't have been logic. Logic was saying, what are you doing? You don't even know where you're going. You don't even know how to get there. You're going to some unknown land. Logic would have told Ananias not to trust the Saul of Tarsus when he came to see him, to meet him, because of his past track record of killing Christians. It had to be faith that told Ananias to meet with Paul, to pray over Paul, and to baptize this guy that had been killing all of these Christians. Was it logic that sent Jesus to the cross? Was it logic that made you walk down this aisle and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior? Remember Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "For by grace we are saved through faith." Faith. And you say, well, what is faith? Well, Romans 10 and 17 tells you what faith is. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of. So faith is gathering knowledge. I'm gathering knowledge of what God's word says. That's the first part of faith. Faith's not a leap in the dark. We've said that before. Faith is a gathering of knowledge. I am gathering all the knowledge of God's word. I'm compiling that knowledge. And then number two, I act upon or I decide whether I believe what God says. And when I believe what God says, then I act upon what I believe. That's faith. And so I choose to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I choose to believe that He was on the cross and He went in the grave for 3 days and He's a resurrected Savior. I tend to believe that He is in our world today, that He walks with me and He talks with me. I believe that. So therefore I act upon my belief. I accept the gift of salvation. And then I act upon that by putting that to work, by spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know that you're at a defining moment in your life when logic takes a back seat to faith. It's not all logical. And some of us in this room even have never seized our defining moment because we refuse to allow faith to control us, that everything has to be logical. Everything has to be seen through my own eyes. You see, I don't believe we'll ever reach our defining moment at Second Baptist Church unless it's faith-driven. Sometimes it's not logical. Sometimes we don't understand. I can promise you when I walked down that aisle to surrender to the ministry, it was not logical. Because I've said before and I'll say again, I'm the dumbest guy in this room and I'm smart enough to admit it. I know that. And that's why it's not logical for God to call me to teach you, to serve you. It has to be faith. It has to be something such more than just logic. Thirdly, we know we're at a defining moment in our life when our choices are about pleasing God and not pleasing ourselves. Turn over to Galatians chapter 1. I was at a conference this week. Our family was at a conference in Indianapolis this week on missions. And one of the guys speaking said, "Boy, I love to hear the pages in the Bible turn." And he said, "But if you're scrolling, scroll real loud on your phone so we can hear you." Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, here's what the Bible says. Remember, you're at a defining moment in life when your choices are about pleasing God. Galatians 1 and 10. "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Can you please man and God? Isn't that what it's saying? We can't do both. And people want to please other people. Listen, Jesus couldn't even please everybody. How in the world do we think we're going to? Turn over a page to chapter 2, verse 20, Galatians. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose." You are in the middle of a defining moment when your choices are about pleasing God and not pleasing other people. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look at verse 4. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please man, but to please God, who tests our hearts. We're to please God. Turn back over to Mark. Look at verse 10, chapter 1. Bible drill this morning, isn't it? And verse 10 says, and when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit ascending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. Do you think that Jesus' baptism was giving some recognition to John the Baptist? Do you think that's why Jesus was baptized? For John the Baptist's work in the wilderness? So God was giving John the Baptist some recognition? The answer to that is no. Jesus' baptism was not some way for Jesus to receive some self-gratification. Jesus' baptism was the sole purpose of pleasing the Heavenly Father. That's it. The sole purpose of pleasing the Heavenly Father. And we know that by the words of the Father to the Son. With you, I am well pleased. Listen, when we have a defining moment in our life, it's not to bring attention to Billy. It's not to bring attention to you. It is to bring attention to the Heavenly Father above. Think about the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisees were attempting to bring attention to themselves. They were not having a defining moment. They were having an ego moment. It's all about us. And then that little old tax collector was having a defining moment. He was bringing attention to the Father, and his life from that point on would never be the same. I wonder what we do at Second Baptist Church is about him or us. I wonder the way we approach through these doors and we're in here to worship. Are we worshiping Him, or is it another habitual thing that we can check off our calendar this week? That's selfish, right? Who's it about? You know you're in a defining moment in your life when it's not about you. But instead, it's all about Him. If you're doing something in your life today that brings more attention to you than it brings to God, then folks, you are not in a defining moment. Notice back to Mark chapter 1. We know we're in a defining moment in our life when it seems that life just got harder because we're trying to do right. Did you notice that Jesus was obedient? He was obedient. Look at verse 12. Or 11. He's been baptized. And this voice comes from heaven. It says, you're my beloved Son. With you I'm well pleased. Don't you think God was smiling? He's saying, look down at my Son. Look what He has done. He has done exactly what I've asked Him to do. He has brought glory to the Father. Isn't that what He's saying? I'm so happy with Him. I'm proclaiming to the world that I am pleased with my Son. He's so happy with him. God loves his son. He's so happy with him. So then read verse 12. He's so happy, the Bible says, then the Spirit immediately drove him into the wilderness. He drove him into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days being tempted by Satan. Now you and I wouldn't think he was too happy with us, would we? He had just been baptized. He was being very obedient. Jesus left the comfort of Nazareth to be obedient to the Father. And you and I would think if we were obedient, then that would put us on a little easier road. Things ought to be looking up. Things ought to be getting better. Things ought to be a little bit easier. But the truth is, obedience sometimes puts us on a much harder road. Obedience puts us in tough places. With tough decisions. Jesus was obedient, and the Spirit led him to the desert. Jesus was obedient and he went without food for 40 days. Jesus was obedient and he was constantly tempted by the devil. Jesus' obedience put him on this tough road to travel. Think about Abraham. His obedience put him on a tough road. Think about Saul that went to Paul. His obedience in that Damascus Road experience put him on a tough road to travel. The scripture reminds us that Paul was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was thrown in prison. He was left for dead. Why? Because he was obedient. Because he did exactly what God asked him to do. So obedience doesn't mean it's going to be easy. There are some times, I know in my life and in your life, I'm trying the best I can do exactly what God wants me to do and to do the right thing, and I keep getting hit head on by something. Right? And you just got to keep going. You just got to keep headbutting. You just got to know that you're doing the right thing. You got to know it. I'm at the defining moment in my life when life gets harder because I'm making decisions based on obedience. If your life just got a little bit harder because of a decision you've made toward obedience, then you very well may be in a defining moment. If you're obedient to Christ, it's hard. It's tough. It's not easy. And then lastly, we know we're at a defining moment in our life when we can see God's hand of protection all around us. Notice verse 13 in Mark. And he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. So here's Jesus. He's been in there 40 days. You know, he was weakened by the wilderness by being there 40 days. He hadn't eaten or drinking anything. He probably did not have the strength to fight this wild animal that's mentioned in verse 13. He probably didn't have the strength to fight that animal if it were to attack him. But listen, he didn't have to worry about that. He didn't have to worry about the wild animals. Why? Because God's protecting hand was upon him. And as you and I walk through these defining moments, we should be able to look around and we should be able to see, to spot, to notice the hand of God protecting us. You should find He is there. Abraham saw the hand of God, and the hand of God was protecting him. The Apostle Paul saw the hand of God, and the hand of God was protecting him. Do you see the hand of God protecting you? 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in verse 13. Here's what the Bible says. It says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. That means you're not going through anything somebody else hadn't gone through. God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted, not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape, and that you will be able to endure it. God will not ever give you something you can't handle. That's a promise. What a blessing. That's an amen. Right? The protection of God. When you're going through your defining moment, you should be able to see the protection of God around you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. If you're taking notes, write these down. Go home and check these. Don't believe me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and He will guard you against the evil one. How many times do you think the Bible has to tell us that God is faithful before we believe it? He is faithful, and He will guard us against the evil one. All the way back in Deuteronomy. You may have this verse memorized. Deuteronomy chapter 31. If I can find it real quick. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Read it to you. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of men, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will never leave you or what? Forsake you. And then Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah, in the 41st chapter, in verse 10, it says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Listen, if you're in the middle of a defining moment, then you will notice, you will see God's protection around you. When Jesus was in His defining moment of 40 days in the wilderness, He would see, He saw the hand of God protecting Him through the angels. You see, we've reached the moment in a Baptist church that we call invitation. And it's the last part of the service. That means as soon as we say amen, you can run for the door and go to Cracker Barrel. It means service is over. I've done what I need to do for this week. Hallelujah! He didn't go too long. It's 11:50. Boy, what a great day in the house of God. Oh, don't laugh. Some of you are thinking exactly what I just said. And then, there's some of you in here that this very moment may be a defining moment in your spiritual life. It may be a defining moment in your addiction. It may be a defining moment in the way you perceive or the way you perceive God. It may be a defining moment in your marriage or in your health. It may be a defining moment of why you are here today. It may be the moment that you finally tell God, yes, yes, God, I will do what you asked me to do. Yes, God, I will do what you asked me to do. Yes, God, I will greet people in the morning. Yes, God, I will work in the nursery. Yes, God, I will take the gospel with me outside of these walls. Yes, God, I am going to visit my neighbor. Yes, God, I am going to invite somebody to church. Yes, God, I am going to do what you've compelled me to do. I'm going to take that step forward this morning, that defining moment that I can say, yes, God. Yes, God, today I will walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, God, today I will walk by faith and not by logic. Today's that day. Yes, God, I will please you rather than pleasing myself. Yes, God. Today. Yes, God, I will take the harder road even when it's scary. I will take that road even where I don't know where it's going. I'll take that road even when it's rocky. And God, I understand that being obedient to you is not easy. But the defining moment in my life today may be, Father, I will be obedient to you even when it's hard. Even when it's scary, and even when it's out of my comfort zone. I've been sitting in this pew for 39 years. I'm not moving. Right? This is the way we've always done it. Right? That's uncomfortable. I've said it before, I'll say it again. If you're not willing to be uncomfortable, then you'll never change. Because change is uncomfortable. And you're saying, yes, God. Yes, God, I will trust you even when you ask me to do something that I do not understand. I will trust you. Today's my defining moment. I will trust you when it seems scary. So if that's you today, praise God. Hallelujah. That defining moment in your life is today where you receive that defining moment. Then I want to invite you down to share it with us. And maybe you have already received a defining moment in your life, and you can pinpoint exactly when that was, I want to invite you to the altar this morning to praise God for it. For that defining moment in your life. Whatever that is. So as we prepare, as our musicians prepare for this time of invitation, there's one or two ways you can handle it. You can hope we get through it real fast. Or maybe it's your defining moment. And maybe you would say, God, thank you for bringing this person into my life. What a defining moment it was when God brought me Karen. Defining moment in my life. You have them too. Or maybe this morning your defining moment for this membership is that you're going to join this church. Or you're going to follow in baptism. Or you're going to say, Billy, I want this church to pray for me because, you know what? He may be calling me to the ministry or to missions. I want you to pray with me, Billy, because he may be calling me to teach a Sunday school class, to be a greeter, whatever it is. Father God, thank you today for your word. Thank you, Father, for defining moments in our life when we can look to you and we know it's you that has compelled us by Christ's love to do something. And Father, my prayer would be we would feel you compel us, convict us to move out of our pew, to do something uncomfortable so that we may have a defining moment in our life. Father, we thank you in advance for what you will do in our lives. We thank you in advance for when we leave this church, what you're going to do on the outside of this church. Father, may we take the gospel with us. Father, we remind ourselves that church is not just on Sunday, but it's everything and every way we, everywhere we go and all that we do. Father, use this invitation as a defining moment. We give it to you. We ask you to bless it. In Jesus' name, would you stand with me this morning?